Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, September 17th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by the Universal News Network Evening Report, bringing the truth to the Terran Confederacy. Get a free month subscription when you use the code PROTOS. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
Behind the boards, our excellent producer, Eric Lanigan.
Hey, guys, how are you?
And joining us on the Skype line is Scott Johnson. By the way.
Never mind.
He was. It's a crazy eye.
There is no Scott Johnson. I'm doing fine, by the way, Eric.
Tell me more.
Thank you for asking. Well, we will have Scott Johnson joining us shortly. Boy, that was nice timing.
Scott, I've had it.
See, I think he thought my count in 3, 2, 1 meant for him to hang up.
Yeah, he's like, that's it. I'm out of here. I can't take robot voices anymore.
Right.
Windows Phone 7 arrives later this year. It will be sold globally, but only for GSM networks.
So that means that Verizon, the biggest carrier in the U.S.
and Sprint
will not... You will not be getting a Windows Phone 7 if you've got those as your carrier.
We mentioned this yesterday. Verizon said that they wouldn't be selling one until 2011. Now we know why. Windows Phone 7 is not for anything but GSM until 2011. So Sprint is out of there as well. And it's because Microsoft says they want some focus.
Well, and they've already got the people are really... The spotlight is on Windows Phone 7 as it is anyway, just to see if they're going to be able to compete with iPhones and Androids. And
they're trying to make it simple, right?
Well, they're saying, I think, the quote from some of the articles today was that we could do a lot of things, but we'd rather do a few things really well.
They're trying to channel Steve Jobs. Scott Johnson is back. Welcome back, Scott Johnson.
Oh, hey, Scott.
Oh, hey. That was awesome how I disappeared right as you started to say things, but I'm really glad to be back now.
Yeah, that's... We understand.
We're glad that you've gotten over whatever upset you at the top of the show.
Tell Brian Brushwood that your little joke went over just fine.
Yes, of course. I wondered if that was maybe what was going on. But I have a theory about this phone thing.
What's your theory?
My theory is that Microsoft, and I know this may sound a little conspiratorial or a little anti-Microsoft. I don't mean it that way. But they do have a tendency to get everybody real excited about a new product or a new technology or a new piece of software or something. And then they kind of... half-A the launch of it, and then they get tired of their own stink of it, and then they quit doing it. And they did it with that phone that they just canceled. They do it occasionally with Windows. ME and Vista are good examples, where they just kind of go, all right, well, we'll just do the next thing. And I worry that 7, as much hype as there's been, I'm worried that 7 is following that path, and it is not one of their primary goals at Microsoft.
Well, they're pulling out all of the let's trash the competition stops. They started making noise today that, well, you know, this Android operating system really isn't as free as they'd like to make you think. Tivanka Elawala, Microsoft's financial officer, told MarketWatch, there's a cost associated with Android that doesn't make it free, and it has to do with the patents.
Because HTC, Apple is... Okay, so if I understand this correctly, HTC has Android and Windows mobile phones, so not just Android,
right.
that Apple says, hey, you're infringing on a patent. So HTC is now paying Apple for these patents to keep things out of court.
Well, yeah. HTC has paid Microsoft for patent licenses, but they have not paid Apple. They're still litigating that.
Okay, Microsoft. But Microsoft is saying, but it's like Microsoft is, their argument is that, well, listen, for an Android phone, somebody's still paying out a license, so it's not really free. You would have to still, there's still money being paid in order to for the end consumer.
They're scaring up the FUD. They're saying, you know, use that Android phone, you might run into these lawsuits like Apple was with HTC. You know, it may be free, but it's not that free. You just don't know. You might get a patent lawsuit. Be a shame if a patent lawsuit happened around here. Things break.
I'll tell you what would be great. as if they really said it in that voice.
Yeah, I know.
And then I would love that. But yeah, this seems like a move to get ready for their launch in a couple of weeks, and they're just kicking up a little bit of dirt. And there's nothing wrong with sort of trying to, you know, forge ahead with whatever your plan is. They have some thick competition. Android is, you know, poised to cream everybody by the end of the year. And Apple's not doing too bad either. And RIM continues to be strong. So they're entering a market that they've already failed in miserably with Windows Mobile. They're just doing all that they can and doing a little, you know, saber rattling is one way to get people's attention, I guess.
They're trying to soften the ground so that manufacturers will not flinch at the idea that they have to pay a license fee to use Windows Phone 7. I disagree with you, Scott. I think Windows Phone 7 is going to be pretty sticky. I think they're doing a good job. It's a nice operating system. I think the fact that it doesn't have cut, copy, paste, and the fact that it's not going to be on CDMA phones until 2011, I don't think those are killer things. In fact, they may be good. We've seen Apple benefit from that same sort of approach of like, you know what, let's just do the things we do well. The question is, will they be done well? If they are, I think Windows Phone 7 will do well.
And I'm happy to be, I hope I'm dead wrong about this. I just have been through so much of that with those guys, and I just worry, and they get really weird about tying it into their Xbox. So they go with their strongest thing in the market, and they make it so tied to that that, you know, if I'm a, you know, a Mac user and I want to get the most out of my Windows 7 phone, I'm kind of out of luck in that way.
Care about the Mac users, though.
They don't at all, and that's fine. But there's a segment of the market, as small as Microsoft may consider them, that I think they're missing out on by trying to say, look, it's all Windows all the time. And that bugs me a little bit, but I'm happy to be proved wrong. I hope they succeed. The competition is good, and we need another good smartphone on the market.
The sort of base level that keeps Windows Phone 7 okay there, right, is the idea that people have Windows computers. But there's some disturbing news. Best Buy CEO Brian Dunn told the Wall Street Journal internal estimates show that the iPad had cannibalized sales from laptop PCs by as much as 50%. So we are not seeing people buying new Windows machines. They're buying iPads instead, at least at Best Buy.
So the knee-jerk reaction is, oh my gosh, iPads are killing the laptop market. Wow, 50% fewer people are buying laptops now because of the iPad. If you look at when there's a you know, a visual graph of when the iPad was released and then as laptop sales have declined after that, it's kind of impossible to say, oh, that has nothing to do with iPad. I mean, it obviously has something to do with tablets being available. But it's also, it's not like, I mean, anytime there's a new product, it's just going to dilute the larger market. People are going to buy something based on what they want. Mm-hmm. So it's not really a laptops aren't for me anymore. I'm with iPad. It's just you've got more options. I mean, The iPad hasn't killed my need for a laptop.
I think they've
one iota.
I think they've mostly killed the need for netbooks, and netbooks fall into this laptop period. You're totally talking about you're referencing the MPD study, which showed that laptop growth in sales has been declining since the announcement of the iPad in January, and that for the first time ever in August, it actually didn't grow. It receded 4%. It fell 4%. Fortune says notebook sales growth goes negative. Can we blame the iPad yet?
Is August a big, is it usually a slow sales? You know, I mean, there's just
huge,
a lot of factors. It's easy to be like, I've had.
August 2009, laptop sales were growing 32%. August 2010, declining 4%. And it was a bad economy last year, too.
That's true.
The real telling detail on this will be in the holiday season. November and December last year, sales of laptops grew 61% in November, 70% in December.
Best Buy will be selling iPads this holiday season.
I have a tiny anecdote to throw your direction, and that is that only through my personal experience, I have a notebook that I use all the time, or did use all the time. I should talk in past tense all the time about this, because I haven't used it in about 2 months. It sat there gathering dust, because what I found is when I go to client meetings and I'm doing presentations, my iPad is kind of killing it. Like, it's really doing what I need. And I probably have a very specific set of needs that it's adhering to really well. And when I get back to the studio, I have major stuff that only my desktop can do. Not even a laptop will suffice. So I have these two extremes. When I'm on the road, iPad is strong for me. And when I'm at home and then I'm in the studio, I've got to go bigger stuff. So I think that there's probably at least some segment of the market that would otherwise be getting a notebook for portability that are going, well, I could only spend $500 and get this, and all I'm really using it for is email, showing off these images, and, you know, once in a while putting something on Twitter or whatever it may be. Plus, you get all the fancy stuff like, well, I can watch movies and I can do my music, and all that stuff sort of adds up to seem like a pretty good value over, you know, clunking down another $1,000 just to be portable.
I think I've got the key here. Do you have a desktop, Sarah? Or do you use your laptop as your desktop?
My laptop is my life.
Bingo. That's it.
That's what it is.
If you have a desktop, then you don't need a laptop. You just buy a tablet. If you don't have a desktop, though, and I do the same thing. This laptop is essentially my desktop.
It's
I use it for everything. I'm not going to replace this with my iPad. You know, I'm just going to. We're doing a little we're doing a little maintenance to the building.
Getting cozy. I got a key out of the desk.
Friday.
You guys through yet?
It smells really nice.
I was going to say there's a Leo in the Sarah Lane frame. That's unusual.
I'm in Canada. I got a key. Are you guys doing a show right now?
What?
The chief twit does everything. Let me just say that job description is vast.
Get out from under my chair now.
He's a lot quieter than the ABC guys who interrupted us
regularly.
So what you're saying, Tom, is that notebook that you're on right now is your computer. If that was true of me, you're absolutely right. There is no way I would trade one for the other, because all that functionality I'd lose with my desktop would be gone. But that's the world I live in. I've got Wacom's connected to this, and there's a big podcasting setup, and there's all this stuff that I'm tied to. There's no way that could ever stand in. But as a way to be around and go, let me look that up for you real quick. Or let me show you this drawing I did and make sure this is cool and you can approve it. The iPad has really been strong that way.
You know what I just thought? You can almost make a comparison of, we were talking about people who don't really need a full functioning laptop. Yeah, you just want to surf the web and watch some videos and this and that. It's almost like the bloated cable packages. You know, well, you could have all of these things. Look at all these things
that
we'll give
you
for this price. Yeah. And you go, well, that sounds good. But then you only end up watching Real Housewives and maybe Lost.
Well, let me ask you this, Sarah Lane.
Okay.
You wouldnldn't trade your iPad for your laptop.
Get rid of the laptop,
I know you have both,
iPad
but
only.
If you had to choose, you wouldn't do that, right?
Couldn't be done.
Would you trade your iPad for the Galaxy Tab?
Let's say
you didn't do iPad today as a show.
I'd love to get the tab in and do like a little comparison on the show. I would love to swap it out for a month.
Uh-huh.
But I want to be able to take my iPad back if I so desire it. But I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited about this GT.
Samsung had an event yesterday in the US where they announced that the Galaxy Tab will be coming to all U.S. carriers, when by that they mean the big four, Verizon, Sprint, AT&T, and T-Mobile. There will also be a Wi-Fi only option available, and there won't be any 4G capable devices. Sorry, Sprint fans and Verizon LTE fans, you're only going to get 3G. They didn't announce a date, and they didn't announce pricing. So there's still stuff we don't know.
And those are two really, really big parts of it. When do we get it, and how much is it going to be?
It also won't have voice capabilities, which it will have in Europe. So it won't have the ability to make calls and turn into a huge cell phone. That's kind of depressing. But it is official, and it's going to, if you want the specs, Android 2.2, so it's got Froyo, runs Flash, 1 gigahertz Hummingbird CPU, 16 gig of memory, weighs about 13 ounces. They claim 7-hour battery life. We'll see. iPad is pretty amazing in its battery life. It feels like it's got 24-hour battery life.
I mean, it's like a 15-hour of solid use for me.
Two cameras on the tab, which the iPad does not have.
Nope, don't
even
have
one camera. 1.3 megapixel on the front-facing camera and a 3 megapixel on the back. Has an HDMI port and will also share media to DLNA devices on the same network. So pretty sleek-looking tablet. And in the show-off... of course, you know, they spike these things, but it looked pretty slick.
I mean, do you think people are going to have both? I know that's kind of ridiculous,
no.
But it's like, you got to choose one or the other. They both have features that the other one doesn't have that I want.
This is bad news for netbooks, because this looks like it's going to be a really good tablet. Like you say, we'll wait to see what the pricing is. But now, if you don't want to buy an iPad, you don't want to live in the Apple universe, or you don't like the limitations, you want Flash, you have an option. So there's all kinds of reasons to buy a tablet instead of a netbook at this point.
Do you think that they have to go below the iPad price point in order to be competitive? Because they're offering a lot of things that people want anyway.
Yes, I do.
You do.
Because Apple is seen, for whatever reason, to be worth paying a little extra for.
Yes.
And people are used to that.
Yes.
If you come out with a Samsung Galaxy Tab that's the same price, it's going to seem more expensive. You know?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I could see if it was more than the iPad price point, what are they doing? But I think to say, here's a device, very similar, smaller, has a lot of features that the iPad doesn't have, and they get their marketing right, I could see them being on equal pricing ground with each other.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It can't be more expensive. That's all.
Yes. Yes.
Intel has confirmed that the leaked HDCP code we talked about earlier this week is legitimate. The code is a real code. It would have to be implemented in hardware, according to Intel. They think it would be way too difficult to do in software. They also said, we think this is pretty hard to do to make hardware with it. We don't think a lot of people are going to do that, so we're not too worried. We think it's still an effective deterrent. And they also said that there would be legal consequences for anybody who did try to make a piece of hardware that used HDCP. However, Ars Technica pointed out that the way the DMCA is written, it may be against the law to create a recorder with an unauthorized HDCP code, but what about a player?
Well, the Ars Technica actually said that sync devices, which are the TVs and the monitors, they would be susceptible, but not the source devices, possibly not the source devices. So that would be...
Right. So anything that's sending the video, like a Slingbox, could take advantage of this public HDCP code and not violate the DMCA.
And because then the sync devices, like the monitors, would be... They will have already gone through. So they wouldn't be susceptible either because the source device is already was fine. Interesting.
Yeah.
So let's say that's true. I mean, let's say that there is a legal loophole. I mean, how easy is it to build a piece of hardware? I mean, make a chip. I mean, you and I aren't going to make these chips that are circumventing.
Right. But if you're a manufacturer, it's not that hard. Scott, you were saying in prep that you know places that could do this right now.
Yeah, I know people in Chinese factories that you could go to with just very little in the way of specifications. And after maybe a week of sort of ramping up, they could get you prototypes. I mean, it's pretty crazy what you can fabricate in China these days. And you can do it under the wire in a way.
Do you think it would take a week?
Do you think if we
asked him like right after the show?
Yeah, like what's the turnaround here? Because I'd love to make a cool mill.
Just kind of.
I think it'd be quick. I think they could make a ton of them. They could make them super cheap, and we will finally be able to retire on that fat pile of money in Hawaii somewhere.
So basically, a bunch of people are sitting, reading with a very fine tooth comb DMCA fine print, and figuring out exactly how they can get around it.
Well, DMCA says you can't circumvent copyright protection, but if I'm the source, I'm not circumventing anything. I'm just making sure that the stupid TV can display the video that I'm sending to it.
How did this key get leaked?
Well, we don't know yet. There's two theories.
Who did this leak?
One theory is that it is mathematically possible that you could derive the key if you had about 40 to 50 keys. Uh-huh. And there would be a way to collect those, and you'd have to do the math,
right?
Which is a lot harder than it even sounds. But it's possible. Or somebody inside who had access to that actual key leaked it to somebody. Hmm. It was socially engineered somehow.
I'd love to know the story behind that.
I'll never tell because I don't know.
Tom Merritt leaked the key.
The next generation Apple TV, slated for release pretty soon, coming up in a couple weeks, is apparently based on iOS. An entry in iOS 3.2 refers to Apple TV 2. Or I'm sorry, 4.2, 4.2B1.
We didn't know this going into it. Like, they'd never gotten real specific about it. In fact, Steve didn't even make any allusions one way or the other as to what this was based on. Was it some sort of weird OS 10 derivative? And iOS is basically that anyway, so I don't know that this is that surprising. It's a small portable device. The stuff's stored on flash memory. You know, what else was it going to be? It's not that big of a surprise, but what's a bigger deal is what maybe people can do with it if they hack it.
Yeah, so, and it would mean that with a, you could jailbreak it, right? And make it run apps, like you say. It could be changed in a future upgrade to run apps. You might buy it for $99. It does what it does, but then all of a sudden you get a firmware upgrade, and suddenly you can put Hulu on it. It's possible. There's also a story on 9 to 5 Mac saying that AirPlay will work with the Apple TV in such a way that any H.264 video on any other device on your network, including in an app on an iPhone or iPad, or just running on a Mac in a web browser, could be output to display on the app through the Apple TV.
So kind of like everything but Flash.
Yeah. Any H.264 video, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. But, I mean, all these possibilities are just that. They're possibilities. We don't really have any kind of, you know, I mean, anything's possible with the new Apple TV. The one thing we were talking about before the show, too, is we don't know what kind of storage capacity this has. And we did a quick cursory look. We couldn't seem to find it. Somebody out there may know. But I don't know how much flash memory is on these things. And so there's probably some limit as to how much hackery can go on as opposed to an Apple TV with a big hard drive in it. So, I'll be really curious to see what in capable hands is done with this thing.
Updated configuration file in iOS 4.2b1 reveals the same numeric product ID is attached to an entry-level Apple TV 2 as was attached to iPod 2.1, referring to the second major hardware revision of Apple TV. That is actually what we know. Everything else we've said, speculation.
Complete speculation. I'll have mine like in about a week, I think, if all the rumors are correct about when they're shipping. I will anxiously await the first hacker to give me something more than what it does naturally, and maybe then we'll see just how capable that hockey puck is.
From rumors to scuttlebutt, Facebook has just expanded its highly controversial instant personalization program to include Rotten Tomatoes.
Movie reviews from your friends. On a movie review site you go to because you want to read expert movie reviewers' reviews. Oh, boy.
Well, it's just another number in there, though. You don't dig this at all, huh?
Well, I think it's interesting because when instant personalization was first announced, this was back in April at F8, everyone freaked out. Privacy issues galore. Facebook had to go and revise those privacy settings and make sure everyone was understanding. And there's sort of this opt-in, opt-out rage. And they just had a few partners at the time. It was Pandora,
Yelp,
and
Microsoft's docs.com.
There you go. So, I mean, when's the last time you got all heated up about instant personalization? Well, it turns out Rotten Tomatoes is their fourth partner. And you have to assume that it's just the first of many that they'll have going forward.
So what
forward.
You're saying is it's getting larger.
Yeah. They're at four.
One thing I hadn't considered about this service is that their chief competitor, I'm talking about Rotten Tomatoes here, their chief competitor is Metacritic. And they happen to do not only movies, but they also do kind of these conglomerate sort of coagulated reviews for video games and TV and everything else. And they have made a push with their latest design to showcase user reviews in a much more prominent way on Metacritic. Like it's far more prominent than it used to be. It's taken basically equal stage with critical reviews. And I wonder if Rotten Tomatoes isn't also trying to make crowdsourcing and using that part of the movie review system more prominent. Because there are cases where a movie's tanking by review standards, but doing really well if you ask, you know, individual people what they thought. And if they, you know, maybe they just want to beef that up, and they're setting up these partnerships and trying to create a more of a crowdsourced movie review system than they have now.
It's certainly an easy way to do it, right?
That's actually a very interesting point, because there's certain, you know, you've got a group of friends, you've got similar interests, you're all going to love this really crappy movie that the critics hate, and everyone knows that the critics are going to hate them. You go to Rotten Tomatoes, and all of a sudden, well, if you've opted in to the instant personalization, you're like, 35, my friends love Piranha 3D, I'm going. And you don't even really, you know, there's less emphasis on what Roger Ebert might have thought. I don't know if he liked Piranha 3D or not, but I assume
it
maybe
not only gives you top movies among your friends, it's also going to give you recommendations based on your likes and ratings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doing a little interpretation of like, well, you seem to like movies that are about horror, fish, or boobs, so we think you're going to like Piranha 3D.
I guess I use Rotten Tomatoes all the time. It's a site I've gone through Rotten Tomatoes for no really good reason other than habit for years. And I guess I just think I don't go there to get this whole instant personalization Facebook crap. I don't want what I like to have any effect on what that page looks like. So there.
Tom sucks.
Tom get off my lawn. Fish and boobs is where you had me. So you, I'm good.
See, you didn't need Facebook instant personalization for that.
No.
Speaking of social networks, though, because I don't have a really
That great movie by Aaron Sorkin?
Yes, it's coming out, actually.
It is.
Or first week of October.
Some good reviews by some of our peers so far. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's stand in line.
A red carpet.
Let's do it.
MySpace is the one we're talking about this time, though. MySpace is working on a complete redesign of its site in hopes of reversing the loss of users. It's been pretty rough for them, hasn't it?
MySpace has had a hard time. TechCrunch had thrown some numbers out a couple of hours ago. MySpace had gone from, and this is December 2008, 125 million unique visitors and 43 billion page views. I assume that's monthly.
Probably for the month of December, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Today, they have 95 million unique worldwide monthly visitors and just 12 billion page views.
Ooh.
12 down from 43.
Ow.
Although, I mean, that's a huge,
Yikes.
Huge decline. However, 12 billion page views, I don't know. I think, though.
That's the problem.
And falling. Yeah. But I would have thought the number was lower by now.
Well,
I mean, MySpace still, I feel like they still, they've got enough traffic to go, let's do a relaunch. Maybe we can still win this thing.
I don't think that's what's going on. I think they're doing a relaunch. Let's try to make ourselves look like Facebook so we can sell MySpace to someone and get out of this business.
Right. Yeah.
I think you're right, but I also think that this all boils down to them missing an opportunity, and they missed it 5-6 years ago. They missed it when that site was ugly, hard to navigate, slow, horrible, and awful, and every other word I can't think of. And they missed the opportunity because they see Facebook come along, this clean, straight-lined, normal-looking website that didn't have all the flash and the gross and the ridiculous animated GIFs every 5 feet, and they went... They put their nose up to it and they said, well, that's not going to succeed. That's for grandpa. That's really boring. Now, over here, we got this, the spice or whatever. So now here they come all these years later. They have that window was four or five years ago and they completely missed it. And they could have really grabbed it. They could have made Facebook's work a lot harder and they could have established themselves as something important and they'd still be up in those, the higher echelons now. And who knows where Facebook would be. So I think the blame is square on those guys. I don't know what happened with Fox Bottom, if there was any kind of like just sort of sitting back on your laurels kind of thing going on, but
you mean News Corp buying them?
Yeah, News Corp, and they could have done it, and they didn't do it. So I don't feel that bad for MySpace.
I don't feel bad at all. I hated MySpace.
We should get they should merge, become MyFace.
How about Spacebook?
Facebook. Spacebook actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Also cool, the News Fuse. Ringleader Digital, a New York-based mobile web advertising company, faces a proposed class action lawsuit over its use of an HTML5 trick to track iPhone and iPad users across a number of websites. Ringleader uses HTML5's client-side database storage capability as a substitute for the traditional way of tracking you, which is using cookies. The tracker, labeled RLDGUID, does not go away when one clears cookies from the browser, and now people are suing them.
Warner Brothers is making 3 TV shows available in the UK, putting them up on iTunes just one single day after each show airs in the US. Nikita, The Vampire Diaries Season 2, hits iTunes UK every Friday, and Gossip Girl fans rejoice, Season 4 lands on Tuesdays.
AT&T announced they will roll out their fast 4G LTE service by mid-2011. This puts them well behind Sprint, rather, which is currently expanding their 4G WiMAX. And Verizon, which announced that they will have LTE in 30 cities by the end of 2010. However, AT&T's LTE launch could coincide with a similar Verizon iPhone launch.
Getting that wound, Salt.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, baby. AT&T is not going to get anything next year. It's going to be a bad year for them.
Nope.
HP has narrowed its list of replacements for departed CEO Mark Hurd. The 5 candidates are all from within and head... a major business division. I'm hoping it will be a trial like American Gladiators. Like 5 will enter, 1 will leave as CEO.
They beat each other with padded
pugil sticks.
Hatchets.
Yeah.
Well, I have good news. We're living in the future, and here's why. Dynamics Inc. has unveiled credit cards with buttons, lights, and displays.
Steve Jobs not going to like that.
One model has the ability to press a button and rewrite the card's magnetic stripe, allowing it to act as multiple credit cards in one. Another hides the credit card number from a display and the magnetic stripe and only reveals your number after a PIN has been entered.
Love it. Oh, my gosh. I love that.
Future credit cards.
In bad news, network provider O2 told UK customers this week that their iPad data allowances were being cut. Customers currently paying £15 a month for three gig of data will now get 2 gig, while those paying £2 a month for 500 meg will see their allowance drop to 200 a day. There is no fee for the cut. There is no fee for the cut in your service, though.
That's a little joke. A joke I wrote in there for you.
Yeah.
There's no fee for the cut in service.
Do you like how I blew your joke?
That's all right. I didn't prepare you.
I like how you
pointed out that you wrote him a joke that
I wrote you a joke. Hey, you blew it. Did you notice
everybody,
that?
Everybody, Scott really sucks right now.
Component suppliers tell DigiTimes they believe a new thinner iPad with a camera will ship no later than the first 3 months of 2011. This would fit right in with the normal pattern of Apple refreshing their mobile devices once a year at the same time. So it's a pretty unrisky leak. Hey, you know what? I think a new iPhone's going to come out next summer, too. The iPad debuted originally in March of this year.
The chief executive of South Korean consumer electronics giant LG Electronics resigned today amid declining mobile phone sales, according to news reports. Nam Young will be replaced on October 1st by Koo Bon-joon, 59 years old, who is the head of trading firm LG International, Reuters reported. The incoming CEO is also a founding family member of the company and younger brother of LG Group chairman Koo Bon-moo.
All right. Well, maybe LG will come out with something finally besides the envy. A manta ray decided to make a film. What's going on?
That's not how it went at all. That's sort of how it went.
That's kind of how it went.
So there's a film crew. They're doing a bunch of underwater footage with these high end.
I guess
camera,
there's some show called
stuff.
Into the Drink, and they do a bunch of underwater.
Yeah, I think it's like a documentary or something. So anyway, they're taking a bunch of footage of these huge giant manta rays under the water. And while the guy is taking footage of the manta ray, so this is the, if you're watching us, this manta ray comes in from the side and goes, "Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hey, I want to do this. I'll take that. Let me show you what I can do.
I might have gotten kicked out of film school because I'm a manta ray. It doesn't mean I don't have talent, dude.
He likes the, I mean, and he jerks it out of the guy's hand. It's not like he just kind of slips.
He took the camera. It turns out. Then the manta ray just starts swimming around with the camera rig, just checking it out, seeing what he can do. And they've got the camera. Here's the footage that the manta ray took. Well, he's terrible. Look, his finger's in the shot.
Yeah.
Amateur. This is a
he's
typical
not white balanced.
Thumb over the viewfinder problem. He didn't go to film school at all.
No use of light.
The mise-en-scène is just
serious. Yeah.
The best part of this is the manta ray shoots about 5 minutes of footage.
That was kind of conceptual there.
And then he goes, I'm sick of this. It wasn't made to be a filmmaker. Drops the camera equipment right next to the boat. Crew picks it up. Not a scratch on it. Well, and now they've got manta ray footage.
At least he brought the camera back.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He just wanted to see if he could get a break.
You want to see some footage? There's some footage. I can get into places you people can't. I'm a manta ray. Don't forget that.
Call me Ray. We'll talk to you next week. We'll do lunch.
It's good stuff.
$5,000 camera, too. They must have been freaked.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure, manta ray steals your camera and just starts taking some footage down. It's not coming back.
Yeah.
But they got it.
I'm thinking manta ray's eating it or something. Yeah. Not shooting some clips.
No. The manta ray is just like, listen, I can go places you can't go.
That manta ray has a reel
now. I
got
fins or whatever these things are.
I got fins in high places.
It's got kind of a cool guerrilla film style to it, though, man. You know, like he's
you mean manta style.
Well, it's really set the bar for all underwater footage from here on out. Did you get a manta ray to shoot 5 minutes of your movie? No? Well, get out of here.
How much sea creature footage is in your documentary?
Shot by the sea creature itself, not of a sea creature. That's very 2010.
You know, I think he did it for the YouTube hits.
Yeah, that manta ray is almost as popular as Fred now. On to the calendar.
What's going on? Well, Saturday the 18th is Software Freedom Day, everybody. So if you want to celebrate the freedom of software or the freedom of free software.
Open source, free software.
Yeah.
It's a day to remember why the Free Software Foundation exists. We should all give each other USB sticks with free software on it. No, it's a real good thing to be appreciative of free software. I think so. I'm all for this.
Yes. They can't take away our freedom.
What are you going to get me for free software day? No, it's not about stealing, Scott. It's about legitimate
But wouldn't it be funny?
Remember the real meaning of Software Freedom Day, Scott.
But what if somebody tracked it and said, oh my gosh, on the 18th, we had the biggest uptick in torrent trackers ever, and we can't believe what's going on.
You're that would be starting the war on Software Freedom Day.
Wow, a real negative Nancy via Skype today.
Don't forget the reason
for the season.
We're celebrating
freedom, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Celebrating.
Freedom from software. Stay away from software. Be free of it.
Well, Scott, if you don't like Software Freedom Day, maybe you'll like that Sunday the 19th is International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arg.
Avast.
Yeah, in fact, Avast Antivirus is going to be rebranding its main interface in pirate speak.
Avast. Oh, that's cute.
So if you opt
because
in, you have
of
to
the pirate word.
You have to opt into the feature from September 19th through September 22nd.
Who wouldn't?
Matey.
I mean, you've got antivirus software called Avast.
Yeah, exactly.
You're probably going to want the pirate
They're
interface.
A little late to this boat. Talk Like a Pirate Day has been going on for, you know.
How many years
like,
now?
Really? You just realized this? Maybe they've done it before and we just didn't know about it.
Maybe.
Like yeah. 10 years or something like that. Yeah. And I think I probably I have gone out of my way not to celebrate the last three or four because the internet just gets too piratey.
The internet.
I can't do it.
The tweets become piratey and sometimes they're not even really very good pirate speak.
Right.
You just want to laugh. Yeah.
Hey, Scott, it would be interesting to know if piracy goes up on International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Like if there's a ton of torrents.
I'll show you talking like a pirate. I'm going to crack this Blu-ray code right now. Here's the chip.
All right, on to our voicemail. Our voicemail is once again a face mail, as I called it yesterday. It's a video from Ryan in Hawaii referencing a couple days. He says yesterday's show, but he means a couple days ago when we talked about the service that allows you to use license plates as email addresses.
Blue, I wanted to say thank you for mentioning Zapotag in your story on Bump yesterday. I thought you'd like to know that when I launched my site, I heard very quickly from a company called Platester that said, hey, we've got a patent on the idea of using license plate numbers as unique identifiers so that drivers can send messages to each other. I had to argue, as you pointed out, that the difference was with Zapotag, we didn't care if the target of the message even saw it, and that it was more a place to broadcast to the world the fact that, hey, this guy helped me with my flat tire the other day, or yes, hey, this guy is an idiot. He drives like an ass per tame salesman. In any case, when you talked about Bump, I was worried that they might get a call or a lawsuit from Platester, but I looked online and it turns out that when Bump was announced yesterday, they also announced the acquisition of the intellectual property of Platester. But just so you know, that idea is patented. Drive carefully, everybody, and rage only virtually. Aloha.
And a manta ray came up and stole his camera right after that was filmed.
And the manta ray was the photographer.
Yeah. Actually, the manta ray is now working.
I like how he was slowly moving like a 360 just to kind of brag about
boat.
The fact that he was on a beach in Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly. That, if you're listening to the audio podcast, you didn't get that kind of...
They heard the waves.
Yeah, you get a little bit of the waves. That's true. You get a little bit.
He's in Hawaii.
We're not in Hawaii.
He proved it.
But thanks, Ryan. I appreciate that. And interesting note about being contacted about possible violations, patent violations there. There's no new ideas under the sun anymore, it seems like. All right, on to the emails, tnt@twit.tv. Oh, by the way, 260-TNT-SHOW if you'd like to send us a voicemail, tnt@twit.tv if you'd like to send us a link to your video mail, or just a regular old email, like we got here from this guy, Todd. He says, today we get news that Droid Eris won't be getting Froyo.
Arr.
I thought Android phones were open, so it should be easy for Eris owners to install their copy of Froyo, right? And the Samsung Fascinate forces you to use Bing search and maps. Apparently, there's no choice. I thought Android phones were open, so it should be easy for Fascinate owners to change the default search engine, right? And Android phones sold by AT&T force you to use the Android Marketplace for apps, no sideloading. I thought Android phones were open, so it should be easy for users to load any app they want, right? And according to Skyhook, Google forced Motorola to drop their service. I thought Android was open, so cell phone manufacturers could modify it as they seem fit. Since Android is open, Google shouldn't be able to send a stop ship order to a manufacturer using Android, right?
September 17th, Talk Like a Weirdo Day. Celebrate, like Shatner, everybody. Tom's already doing it.
It went from T.S. Eliot to Shatner at some point. Yeah. I'm not sure why. But no, point well taken, Todd, especially for Software Freedom Day, which is Android would like to promote this as openness, but there are things that are not open, like the marketplace, like some of the Google apps, and that impinges on that openness.
Well, you know that all these companies, Verizon, whoever, I don't care who you are, they all want to be Apple in this scenario. They love this OS. They love its popularity. And they love that Android is exploding. So they want a piece of that. And they want to get phones based on that. But they also like to have that control. And they're not getting it through the OS, but they're kind of squeezing in and saying, all right, Bing only, because we got this deal with Microsoft. Can't change it. And I don't like that at all. As much as I don't like it, I am an Apple user. I love my iPhone. I like their closed app store. So I seem like I'm arguing with myself, but I guess it's all or nothing. Either give me a really nice walled garden of an app store and a phone, or give me the complete open thing. None of this mamby-pamby middle crap.
I agree. You know, it's like one way or the other. And Android got a lot of credit for being open at the beginning, but there have been some less than open things happening lately. I still think it's much more open than any other phone operating system out there that isn't open source. But Symbian is now going open source. Mego is open source. So when those get popular enough to run into these problems, we'll see how they handle them.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott Johnson, for being on the show. It was a blast as usual. I'm sorry I mocked your joke.
You mean your joke?
I mean my joke. That was horrible.
Thank you. It is always a pleasure for me to hang out with you and Sarah and cover the tech news on a good day like this. So thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks,
and,
Scott.
And don't be afraid to plug something.
All right, let me plug this. Today we plug frogpants.com. That's where they can find all the podcasts I'm involved with and produce. They can also find the comics and everything else. That's at frogpants.com.
TNT is at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, and call us 260-TNT-SHOW. We're off for the weekend, but we'll see you Monday.
Fudge.